Westchester Talk Radio is broadcasting live.
News, trends, and more.
No one knows Westchester County better than we do.
We are Westchester Talk Radio.
Good day. Welcome to Westchester Talk Radio. WestchesterTalkRadio.com. I'm John Marino. We are made possible by Entergy, the Indian Point Energy Center. They are supporting our communities right through the spring of 2021. By Lipolis Electric. Don't be left in the dark. Get Lipolis. By Hightower Westchester, managing your wealth to a fiduciary standard. And by White Plains Hospital. Special thanks to our heroes throughout the pandemic at White Plains for all they have done. We are produced by Shark Creative, and we are today on the Sports Report, and we are joined by Josh Thompson. Josh Thompson for his quarterly look at the world of high school sports around Westchester and the Hudson Valley. And Josh Thompson is the sports editor for the Journal News, LowHud.com, and the Poughkeepsie Journal, covering the seven-county lower Hudson Valley area that encompasses sections 1 and 9. Josh, welcome back. It's been an interesting year. We are in the home stretch, I guess, now. Give us a fall 2 recap, which we squeezed in between the winter and now beginning spring seasons.
Well, you know, it was a 6-week football and volleyball season. That was mostly what it was, at least in section 1. There were actually more sports in section 9 because they hadn't played soccer and field hockey back in the fall. So they had a little more, you know, it was definitely busier there. Here it was strange in Westchester and in section 1. You know, just how, like I said, it were really just two sports that were playing at that time. So they had a separate season, and it was 6 weeks long. I mean, it's decent sized season. You know, many regular seasons are only 6 weeks long anyway. So it was kind of basically the length of a regular season for football. Obviously, just not the playoffs and the state playoffs and whatnot. It was definitely strange. You know, the weather held up pretty well. You know, there weren't snowy weekends, but, you know, it was definitely a strange seeing, no leaves on the trees and, different kind of light and different kind of weather than you're used to for fall. You know, it kind of got warmer as the season went on as opposed to getting colder.
Which it felt like football does. Season early on, you know, I think. It felt like football season but early on.
There were a couple weekends where it was pretty bitter, you know, on like a Friday night, but it wasn't bad. But it was good to see the kids get the opportunity to play and, you know, get the opportunity to squeeze that season in. You know, I think it meant a lot, you know, for the seniors to play. You kept hearing how grateful they were to get that chance to play. So, you know, I think ultimately that's kind of what I took away from it. It wasn't always the best, football because of lack of practice and, it was strange. Certainly some kids coming over from basketball season and playing a football game 5 days later, which you'd never see usually. So that kind of made, you know, maybe for not the best football at times, but it was definitely great to see them have the opportunity to play.
We had some exciting games along the way. What were the highlight games for you, the key games?
Well, you know, I think New Rochelle losing for the first time in almost 7 years and suffering a team that is not a perennial contender by any means, you know, usually not even one of the best football teams in Rockland County. Them beating New Rochelle, that was kind of one of the highlights, maybe the highlight of the season. They have a great football player, senior Clevmer Lubin, who was our basketball player of the year in Rockland County. And not to give anything away, but I think it'd be a big surprise if he wasn't the football player of the year as well. He just was so dominant, rushed for over 300 yards and 5 touchdowns in that game. And so I think that was one that really stood out to me. And then obviously Tony DiMatteo from Somers, them going 6-0 and him deciding to retire after 52 years, 4 wins short of tying the all-time state record for wins by a coach. But, you know, 78 years old, he was ready to step away and kind of spend more time with his family. I think he thought it had gotten to be pretty crazy. Not that he couldn't still do it, but just, you know, it was time for him to maybe spend some time with his wife and watch his grandkids play sports and things like that. His grandson is a starting quarterback at Manapack High School, where his son Dominic is the head coach. And they actually played Somers the first week of the season. And I think he had said to me that was kind of the game that he said to himself, what am I doing? You know, why am I trying to, as he puts it, you know, he's very blunt, you know, why am I trying to beat my grandson? instead of, you know, kind of enjoying his game from the stands. So, you know, that kind of stood out to me too. And Somers and Rye both finishing undefeated, two teams that have butted heads many, many times. So, you know, that would have been, it would have been nice to see them play that extra game and kind of have a championship game, but that didn't happen. Then, you know, the smaller schools, Byram Hills in Class B and Bronxville in Class C, two teams that finished undefeated and probably would have had a chance to compete for a state championship in a different year. They didn't have that chance, but they kind of won all the games in front of them. So, you know, there were definitely some storylines that were great to see from the year. And then, you know, locally for the Catholic schools too, Iona Prep 5-0 and beat Canisius last year as the 2019 Catholic state champion, beat them 56-7. So I think Iona Prep, you know, left the season, you know, kind of feeling like they had the best team in the state. And, you know, they had every reason to believe that, I think, when the season ended.
Now you talk about the rebirth of the Suffren program. And a few years back, Suffren did have a pretty good program. It went downhill through the years. Hastings kind of had a rebirth too this year too, where they were, when was that? Guess 3 years ago, they were a pretty good program for a long time before that. The bottom dropped out, and they've built it up the past couple of years, step by step, culminating in a bowl game, regional bowl championship victory over Edgemont.
You know, they had a good year. I believe they won four games out of Hastings and won their first three games of the year for the first time in, I'm, the date is slipping my mind, it's something like 15 or 16 years. They hadn't won as many games as they had won in 10 years. So, you know, since Ali Marpet, who's now a starting guard for the Bucks, you know, won a Super Bowl this year since he was a senior in high school in 2011 when they made the Section 1 championship game. So it had been that long since they had won this many games. Now they're playing at an independent level, so it's not, you know, quite the Section 1, you know, championship level. But yeah, they still did a great job. They had a new coach, Sam O'Hare, who kind of, you know, took over, you know, some of the strides that Joe Grasso had made with that program before Grasso left. He moved his family down south. So, you know, they did a really good job too. And, you know, those are, like I said, John, when you talk about things that came out of this, you see little storylines like that and you say, yeah, it was worth squeezing in a six-week season because there are kids, whether it's football or volleyball or, like I said, in Section 9, some of the other sports that were able to achieve things or teams that were able to achieve things. And they would have been obviously unachievable if they never tried to play the season. So I think that there were a lot of people who are happy and satisfied with what happened.
As the season went on, did you see more fans appear week by week, that fans and parents and whatever was allowed at whatever school, whatever each school did, that finally people were finally feeling like they could get out there safely too, especially with people getting vaccinated? I saw the fans, to me at least, increase week by week.
You know, John, I think that there was definitely more, less, you know, reticence in the outdoor sports than there has been with the indoor sports. So that to me was the biggest difference. And I don't think that the restrictions obviously were lessened. But I think that everybody feels, whether it's the schools feeling more comfortable hosting more fans or the fans feeling more comfortable attending the games, I think you saw outdoors, you're going to see more fans. And, you know, I've been to some baseball so far, and I think that, you know, things have definitely changed where fans are attending more games and, you know, are kind of being allowed a little more freedom. And it's nice to see. Kind of, you know, you forget, just like with the pro games or college games when you watch them and then you see a place where there's a decent sized crowd, you forget that the fans do make a big difference because we've gotten so used to not having
them. Right. There were some games where I worked, and I do work public address around Section 1, some games where I worked where there weren't as many fans as I thought there would be, and some games where there certainly were a lot more fans than I thought would be there. I worked just about every Croton road game. Seemed like wherever I went, Croton was the opponent, and Croton did not have a good season again. However, Croton travels well, regardless of where the Tigers have to go. Their fans go a long way with them. Edgemont, Irvington, they get out there on the road, and it's good to see the support for the kids, especially in times like this, win or lose.
Yeah, you know, and like I said, I do think they notice, you know, when I went to a couple of games where there were, you know, maybe 50 high school students that were allowed to attend the game, and that makes a huge difference, you know, and I think it excites the kids because you know, especially when you're talking about certain sports, physical sports, you know, competitive sports, I think that they look at that as part of the game. And it is, it's part of the atmosphere, and it makes the games better. I mean, you can't deny it that, you know, not having fans has definitely taken something away, you know, during the pandemic. And, you know, hopefully now we'll slowly see more and more fans come back.
Mm-hmm. Josh Thompson is the sports editor, Journal News, Loha.com, Poughkeepsie Journal, all wrapped into one here. On Westchester Talk Radio, the sports report, I'm John Marino, made possible by Entergy, the Indian Point Energy Center, supporting our communities right through the spring of 2021. We are produced by Shark Creative. Josh, as we head now, we are underway with the spring season. Any changes amongst schools and how they are approaching this season with, like we said, vaccines getting stuck in people's arms, more and more people getting the vaccine, over 60%, I believe the number is in Westchester, that's been vaccinated so far, and that number increasing throughout the Hudson Valley. Are schools and teams and players kind of easing up a bit, getting a bit more back to normal, or is it still all systems go with all the protocols?
Well, you know, John, obviously there are still a lot of protocols in place. You know, the teams are still, you know, wearing masks and trying to distance and, you know, wearing masks at some point during competition or when they're on the bench. And, you know, the fans are still limited, but definitely you've seen some things have changed. You know, there are fewer teams that have gone on quarantine for sure. I can only think of one team between baseball, softball, lacrosse that has had to quarantine so far. We saw a lot of that during the football season. It seemed like there were five new teams every week. They were being shut down and having to go on pause. You know, so that's definitely changed, at least so far. And then, you know, definitely with the games being played outdoors now, all the games, it's you know, it's changed the number of fans, I think, that are allowed. Or the schools definitely aren't as strict as they were, certainly during the winter and even some point during the fall two season, you know, on who's attending the games. And so I think you've seen some changes there. And, you know, it's kind of all for the better. I think it's, you know, provided some better atmosphere, and, you know, you definitely see things moving in the right direction. Now, will it be totally different? Will it be totally back to normal next fall? You know, with the pandemic, that seems so long from now, even though it's only four months away, not even. So, you know, we'll see if some of those restrictions will be, you know, lessened or done away with completely by then. But, you know, you've definitely seen a little bit of a shift so far this spring.
Mm-hmm. Now, as we head into the spring season, who are the key teams to look out for in each sport, provided, of course, everybody gets to play?
Well, one team that's really stood out so far, the Bronxville girls lacrosse team, has had some big upsets. They're always one of the better teams that they've beaten. You know, teams that are considered higher classification favorites, you know, like a Suffern or John Jay Cross River. So that's been interesting to see so far. Yorktown was boys were one of the teams, obviously, always to watch, but you know, they were a team that actually had a brief pause earlier this season. They kind of finally got back to action against Wappingers last weekend. So they're finally back in action. Always a team to watch. Well, Mamaroneck boys are a program that's definitely on the rise. I mentioned, I know they lost to Bronxville, but Suffern and John Jay are two of the better, larger school teams for the girls. And then in baseball, you know, it's so hard, maybe the hardest year to predict all the spring sports because they didn't play last year. But to me, baseball, which relies so much on upperclassmen and seniors just because of, you know, pitching is such a big part of it. And the pitchers are usually your juniors and seniors who are throwing the ball hard. Well, remember, most of these kids have never played varsity sports before, right? So there are very few players who are returning who are impact players. So I find baseball to be, you know, one of the more difficult sports to judge, but you do have Suffern, you have Mamaroneck after 7-0 starts. Those are teams that look pretty good in Section 1. You also have, you know, Rye, a team that lost Declan Lavelle. They're starting a quarterback and big-time three-sports star, Sean Thompson, who they're two aces at the top of the rotation, but they were undefeated until losing on a walk-off fashion to Class AA Mamaroneck. So Rye is a team that looks pretty good. Then you have the aces, you know, we talk about the hard-throwing pitchers, the guys who are back. Well, there were two of them who were really good players as freshmen, and they look like two of the best or maybe the best pitchers in the section so far. That's Fox Lane's Michael Lombardi, who's been dominant so far, and Byram Hill's Bobby Ciccone, both juniors. Ciccone committed to Boston College, and Lombardi committed to Tulane. So those are two pitchers to watch. So, but baseball is still very, very wide open. And then, of course, when you talk about softball, you have to talk about Shannon Becker of Mayapak. She's a girl who in 2019 as a sophomore threw a perfect, perfect game, 21 strikeouts, 21 outs, which is amazing. She's committed to Notre Dame. She's back and, you know, obviously off to a great start. So, you know, that's kind of the softball team to watch, both from a team perspective, but also from the perspective of this is, you know, a once in a generation type performer. And she's obviously gotten off to a great start as well.
What's her key on the mound? What makes her so, have to use the word great, because she is.
Yeah. I mean, she throws, you know, from what I've never seen her pitch live, but from what I can, from what I know, you know, throws hard and just has a lot of pitches. And, you know, that is, you know, that's tough to beat. You know, it's not 60 feet, 6 inches, right? So if you have a ball coming at you hard and there's movement on it, it is really tough to hit in softball against an elite pitcher. You know, baseball, you can work a walk, you can get an error, you can kind of move runners that way, but it's hard against a dominant pitcher like her, you know, to put the ball in play even. And so, you know, it sounds like she's pretty special. I know the people in Mayapak have really enjoyed watching her pitch. You know, and it's a shame. There's a great example, John. You know, what would she have done last year in 2020, last spring?
Right.
You know, you have that same question as somebody who covers a lot of baseball. The Lakeland baseball team, the best baseball team Lakeland has ever had in the history of a great program, had won 2 section championships, was going to come into the season as a number one ranked team and a favorite to win the state championship. And, you know, our player of the decade, Joe Vetrano, he was coming back, just an amazing athlete, one of my favorite athletes I've ever gotten a chance to watch in any sport. And that, you know, that senior year, that 2020 season taken away. And yeah, they're playing this year, but you can kind of never get that back. You know, you can never get back, that kind of season loss. So, you know, there's some amazing things that we're going to get to see this spring, but, you know, with somebody like Shannon Becker, it makes you wonder, like, what could she have done last year also, you know?
So. Baseball, Mamaroneck, Rye, same teams. You mentioned Byron Hills, Fox Lane, and others, always at the top of the heap every year. Why? Mamaroneck, is it because of the coach?
Yeah, you know, I think it comes down to coaching, kind of the strength of your program, the culture that's in your program, because now you're talking about, let's look at Suffern, John. John, Suffern is probably the best team, you know, year in, year out for a long time in Rockland County. You said Ron Gamma, who was a famous, you know, coach in Rockland who won a million games, and his longtime assistant, Chris Mitchie, took over, and, you know, they won the section championship in 2019, and they have had, this is an amazing stat, we talk about teams not having players back, 1 inning of varsity experience. So this is a team that had one kid play 1 inning in 2019, and they have an entirely new team. But they're 7-0 because the players who were in 10th grade who might have been on the junior varsity at Suffern, the only reason they weren't on the varsity is because the program is so strong. You know, right? I know Mike Schiaparelli, Mamaroneck, you know, he expected to have a good year. He thought he had a lot of players coming back because his catcher was returning. One of his infielders, Ryan McIntyre, who's an all-section point guard also.
Right.
He's a middle infielder for them. He's back. And then you have three or four college pitchers. And that's a team that you think should be good. I mean, nobody knows if they're going to have a good team, right? This is the way this year is. Like, you think you might have a good team. But you kind of rely on the fact of the strength of your program, and, you know, these kids are college players, or these kids are kids who are going to play in our program. We have a good program. We think we're going to have a good team. And you see with teams like Suffern and Mamaroneck, and you mentioned Rye, you know, that's kind of why I think what's happening is the strength of the program, especially with so few players back, it's kind of, you know, bearing fruit in a year where nobody has anybody back. So it's, you know, a totally clean slate for everyone.
Mike Schiaparelli has the honor of being one of the all-time greats, not only in baseball, but in hockey, too, right up top the area win list, New York State win list, all-time championships in both sports. He was inducted into the Westchester Sports Hall of Fame in 2015. I happen to be the master of ceremonies for the Hall of Fame, have been since 2003. When I did my pre-show interview with Mike, he had decided to, and he's coached pretty much every sport along the way over 40-plus years, he decided to go back to being an assistant football coach that season in 2015, which he stuck around with for a number of years after that. And I said to him, Mike, I said, what's your favorite sport? Hockey, baseball, you've coached every sport along the way. And we were on the phone, and I know he had to get to a football practice, and he was up in his office, and he said, the sport I'm coaching today. I thought it was a great answer. And I said, yeah, Mike, I mean, come on. You won all these games in baseball and hockey and other sports along the way. Got to be one that sticks out to you. He said, Johnny, the sport I'm coaching today, and I got to go. I got to get to practice. I said, so I guess football is your favorite sport today, huh? He said, that's my answer. There you go. So,
no, and I think that's true. And I think for coaches, that there are very few now who are coaching multiple sports, especially at a large school like Mamaroneck. But I think that that's the only way you can do it, because it's a grind. It's very difficult to coach multiple seasons, because you have off-season obligations for your programs now. You know, which, you know, when I was a teenager, there really weren't as many of those. You know, these programs weren't year-round, which they're year-round or close to it now. So he has a lot of responsibility. Anybody who does that, but you have to really enjoy, you know, kind of what you're doing at the moment, or else, you know, I think you'd go crazy if you're somebody like him pulling yourself in three different directions.
Yeah, I hope Mamaroneck is able to have their summertime football camp like they have every year, which had to, of course, be put off last year. I attend that on a regular basis for a long time. I've seen Mike operate as a football coach about 3, maybe 4 years ago in a scrimmage. I think it was against Westlake, maybe. One of his linebackers, kid named Martinez. Mike is just standing along the sideline with his clipboard, and he yells out, Martinez, play reverse. And Westlake was still in the huddle. And he yelled out, Martinez, play reverse. Westlake is still in the huddle. They come out of the huddle. What happens? Reverse right at Martinez, make the tackle. And I called out. I said, hey, Mike, it's like you were in the huddle there, huh? Mm-hmm. Right around the same time, I invited Mike for a cup of coffee over at Starbucks next door to Mamaroneck High. And he said, Johnny, I'm going to tell you a secret. I said, what's that? I've never had a cup of coffee in my entire life. I said, never? He said, never. I said, that's got to be the key to your success, Mike. Great guy, great coach, and I hope he coaches forever. Yep. Now, since we are into spring season, one of the benefits already is that we had the Laux games a few days ago at White Plains High School, and the Laux games had to be put on hiatus last year, too. It was a pretty good weekend.
Yeah, you know, I those are exactly the type of events that you hope continue to come back, and that we've seen the last cancellation of events like that, you know. A whole winter where no meets were held at the Armory in Manhattan. You know, that's really, you know, that's difficult to watch. Those are the things, like I mentioned before, you can't get certain things back. And, you know, missing Laux games, missing meets at the Armory, missing sectional football championships and trips to the Carrier Dome. And, you know, the sad part about what's happened in the last, you know, 12, 14 months is that, you know, you've lost things that you haven't been able to get back. And I think that when something like the Laux games does come back, there's a great appreciation kind of, and it almost reminds you of how special something like that is. I know it wasn't the same field that it usually is. You know, there weren't as many teams. It was really Section 1 and Section 9 schools for the most part. But, you know, I think that, you know, you kind of in a community, those are great community events, and you kind of can almost forget about how special they are, you know, until they're gone. And then now they come back. And I think there's a great excitement. You know, I hear from like the town that I live in or some other places, you know, where the participation in sports has actually increased this year, because I think that there was just an excitement, a willingness, a gratefulness to get back on the field or get back on the court. And, you know, hopefully that continues on into the fall. And, you know, you see some participation numbers rise, and people really appreciate these big events and, you know, not kind of taking them for granted, I think.
I think one benefit of not having 3,000 kids at Laux at White Plains High this year was you could really focus on seeing the top high school track and field talent in this area in Section 1 and Section 9. I thought that was a great way for these kids to stand out, to benefit, and have the spotlight just on them.
Yeah, you know, that is good. And I think that in general, that's kind of been, everything's been more localized this year. So you've had, you know, obviously a lot of local competition and not intersectional competition, not state competition. And while it would be great to have some of that, I do think that, you know, the idea of winning like a county championship or a regional championship is pretty cool. You know, like in Rockland and Dutchess County, they've been playing county championships. And that's pretty special to be the best team in your county. That's the way it used to be. You know, there were a lot of teams that were just competing for county championship, and that would be the end of the season, you know, 50, 60 years ago, right? So that was something that, you know, you were the best team in your county, and that was really exciting. Right. And I think sometimes that
that can get lost a little bit. People kind of in the pursuit of trying to make state tournaments and win state championships and whatnot. So definitely the local competition, you know, I think it's kind of been a bright spot of what's, you know, been kind of a strange school year for sports.
Mm-hmm. And special kudos to Fred Singleton and the entire White Plains school system for all they did to make sure the Laux games happened at White Plains this year. It was a challenge, but they did pull it off, and that's great for everybody around our region. Assess this comment, if you would. I speak to, when I go to work a game, I get to talk to, and around the tri-state area, I get to talk to, obviously, coaches, student athletes, athletic directors, parents, general fans in a school system, get to talk to college coaches who come to scout games. We didn't have any of that this year for the most part, basically. But coaches I've spoken to on the phone or in this kind of a scenario or maybe running into somebody along the way, I would ask them, you had no senior season really for a lot of kids. How do you assess, how does a college assess what a kid can really do? And they'll say, especially the college coaches will say, well, we have their junior year on tape, but that really doesn't always cut it because a kid develops or maybe even regresses from junior to senior year. And that's not the fairest way to go.
Yeah. You know, I think you'll see more athletes who are kind of borderline college players or borderline Division I scholarship players going the prep school route. You know, we've already seen that one of our both of our co-basketball players of the year in Westchester, Charlie Randall from Amerenek. He's 6'10", left-handed, had a great senior year, really kind of burst on the scene after, you know, being a role player as a junior. And then Jason McGee, who's been a star for New Rochelle for the last 3 years, they were our co-basketball players of the year. They're both going to prep school, right? And I think that if you played 25 games and the games went on over the course of December and January and February, and maybe even got to play into March and colleges were allowed to attend the games, you know, maybe you'd have an opportunity where you'd get a chance to play or a scholarship offer or something. I think you'll see a lot of that. I've even heard that with some football players. Casey Judelson, he's one of our Super 11. He's a kid. He's younger. He only turns 18 in the fall, but he decided he's going to go to the prep school route. And I think you'll see a lot of that as well, prep school, junior colleges. You know, there will be some athletes who will have a chance to go to a SUNY Cortland to play, but that may be Division I talent. And they have to think to themselves, do I want to take the extra year, go to prep school, and take a chance on myself that maybe I can get a full scholarship, or do I want to go play sports at the Division III level? You know, instead knowing that, you know, I have a spot, they want me, you know, maybe you have to pay some for school though. And you know, that maybe that's a factor for your family. I mean, there are definitely a lot more things I think that are going to have to be taken into consideration this year than in past years. And unfortunately that's due to the pandemic. I agree with you. I don't think that a lot of athletes, unless they're really strong, will be recruited off their junior film. Maybe somewhat, but you know, they wanted some senior film. And then also, John, one of the biggest negatives of the pandemic in terms of recruiting has been these visits to college campuses where a coach gets to look a player in the eye, gets to say, is this person really 6'3", 220 pounds, or is he 6'1",
205?
Yeah. Yeah. And so I think, and I had a football coach tell me that yesterday, that's something that is a big difference. You know, is not being able to go on the college campuses, run your 40-yard dash in front of those college coaches, do your bench press in front of those college coaches, do your cone drills, things like that. That is definitely costing, you know, people some opportunities. So you know, it'll definitely be detrimental for some athletes. I just wonder how long that will kind of carry over, because you have to remember too. At a lot of colleges now, you're going to have seniors coming back for a fifth year or underclassmen who are taking that extra year because the NCAA said that the 2020-21 season doesn't count due to COVID. And, you know, there are some athletes I've talked to who are going to go on and, you know, try to go pro or go on and start their career because they graduated. And what's the point of staying for a fifth year if you already have your diploma? But there will be other ones that stick around, and that will kind of change the equation too in terms of, you know, who plays and who doesn't next year. So there's a lot to consider.
Kids in this area are going to go to prep school instead of just going straight to college now because they lost that year?
Yeah, definitely are. And, you know, it's lost a year to, I think, impress people and for people to see them in person. And the presumption, right, John, is that you'll be able to be scouted in person or visit college campuses next school year. And we've already seen the Catholic High School Basketball League has set up an exposure camp for its teams. It's going to be hosted at Iona Prep this late June. And that's a live camp, meaning that college coaches are able to attend that camp. And that'll be the first time that basketball coaches, and they usually are always around the CHSAA games because the Catholic school has so many good players, that'll be the first time that they'll be able to get a look at some of those players in over a year. And, you know, there's been too much recruiting over Zoom. Rick Pitino said during the winter at some point that recruiting over Zoom stinks. You know, I think that there are probably some kids who they brought in who he watched and said, this isn't what I saw in film, you know? And so I think that that a lot of colleges will be happy to be back out on the recruiting trail. And, you know, so hopefully that'll help the athletes too when they kind of, you know, get those looks and you're able to kind of get the exposure in person.
Your thoughts on the college transfer portal rules change where you don't have to sit out a year now. It seems like everybody's transferring. Coach, I thought I'd play 36 minutes a night. You played me 18. I'm leaving.
Yeah, you know, I think that it's obviously a lot of upheaval. You know, I think it's half the players or something like that. I don't know the exact status, but are leaving their teams and finding new teams. But at the same time, the coaches are allowed to leave, come and go and leave whenever they want. And I've always been of the opinion that I don't think that players should have to sit out. Now, I like the idea of, you know, you get one free transfer. It's not working out somewhere. You get a free transfer somewhere else. I don't think you should have three transfers without having to sit out. I think that's different. But I do believe that, you know, there's been a long time where coaches have been able to hop from one job to another. And the athletes have had to stay put because they haven't wanted to sit out the year or they've had to leave and then sit out the extra year. And, you know, that's really difficult and that's unfair. So I think that while it's a shame that there's so much upheaval, you know, I think it's the players should have the right to do it. I mean, they're the talent. They're the people who are putting the fans in the seats and making the money. They get none of the money. They get, you know, very few of the benefits outside of the scholarship. And so I think that them being able to kind of leave and go to a different situation that they think is better for them, you know, I think more power to them. I think that's the way it should be.
Do you see the day where college athletes finally get paid?
You know, I probably will happen eventually. I don't know that we're quite headed down that road yet. And, you know, it's kind of hard to say, you know, when that'll happen. But, you know, I certainly think the NCAA is making a lot of money. And, you know, somebody like Trevor Lawrence, somebody like Cade Cunningham from Oklahoma State, I mean, these guys are making their schools a ton of money and they're not getting anything to show for it. And, you know, somebody can say to me that they're getting great exposure, but, you know, Cade Cunningham tore his ACL and needed microfracture surgery after the NCAA tournament. But that's going to affect how much money he's making at the next level. So, same thing with Trevor Lawrence too. You know, we saw what's happened to Tagovailoa from Alabama. You know, he's never quite been the same since he got hurt. He had a pretty bad rookie year. And there was a lot of talk this offseason about the Dolphins maybe looking for another quarterback. I mean, this is what happened to him, you know, from going from the trying to play for Alabama and, you know, to and showcasing himself for free, you know, for without getting paid. And now, you know, he's in this position where he's going to have to kind of fight for a second contract maybe in the NFL. And, you know, we'll see how it goes. But Johnny Manziel, look at what happened with him, John. I mean, how much money did he make in the NFL? And,
right,
you know, you could say that that's his fault, that he didn't take care of himself, but he certainly made Texas A&M and the NCAA a lot of money when he was in college.
Mm-hmm. And those kids now who go straight from high school to 1 year in the G League, the elite team, and then to the NBA too. That seems like it's not fair, but that's the system.
Right. And, you know, some of them, if they take advantage of it and they end up getting, you know, picked high in the draft, you know, again, more power to them.
Josh Thompson, we thank you as always. And thank you for all of your input and insights throughout this high school sports season. Hope we get to talk again at the end of the season. We'll do a year-end recap and have a preview of the 2021-2022 season. We hope it starts on time in September. A long way to go until we get there, right?
Yeah, absolutely, John.
All right, Josh, thank you. As always, Josh Thompson here. He is the sports editor of the Journal News, LowHunt.com, and the Poughkeepsie Journal, covering all seven counties of the lower Hudson Valley, sections 1 And at 9, he is the high school sports maven of mavens here in the lower Hudson Valley. Josh, we thank you as always here on WestchesterTalkRadio.com. Produced by Shark Creative, made possible by Entergy, the Indian Point Energy Center, supporting our communities through the spring of 2021. By Wartburg Healthcare and Rehabilitation in Mount Vernon, by Park Sterling Realty in Bronxville, and Michael Labriola Landscape Design and Construction in Armonk. We thank you one and all. Catch all of our Westchester, Rockland, Putnam and Dutchess, Orange and Fairfield County Talk Radio programming on our YouTube channel, A Shark Creative YouTube.
You're listening to Westchester Talk Radio,
powered by Shark Media, a division of Shark Creative,
and made possible by Entergy, Indian Point Energy Center.
Visit SafeSecureVinyl.com.